Well, if there's one Sunday that I really get excited about, this is the Sunday where we are able to highlight what God is doing through Linwood Baptist Church here and around the world. And what we want to do today is we want to inform you, inspire you through some stories, and we want to help you connect. There are different ways in which you can participate. And so that is the reason we want to highlight some of the ministries that we have. If you've not had time to go over to the fellowship hall immediately after the service, you want to make your way over there. If they're not there, there may be some of them still in here that you can talk to, or call the office. We'll give you more information. And I'll speak to that a little bit later. But we want to begin this morning. I'm not going to introduce all of them. I'm only going to formally introduce the first person that we have today, and that is Michelle Scherer. Michelle is the director of Options for Women, and she is going to explain what that is and how you can get involved. And God is doing a great work through Options for Women. Let's welcome Michelle with us this morning, all right? Michelle?
As Pastor Anderson said, my name is Michelle Scherer, and I'm with Options for Women, Help for Families. And I just want to start by saying thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. Linwood has been such a great support to our organization from the very beginning, and we appreciate that. Options for Women, Help for Families has been, our doors have been open since about mid-2014, so we're relatively new, you know, in the community. And so I wanted to share a little bit about who we are, what we need. Our vision is stated as every baby born with a future, seeing life valued and families strengthened. So how do we try to accomplish that? First and foremost, we are a pregnancy help center. We are a faith-based, multi-denominational group. Our goal is to make sure that life choices are made when we are dealing with a woman, working with a woman or family who's facing a pregnancy. We have a number of services to help us in that effort. We have pregnancy tests. We do first trimester ultrasound. And during an ultrasound, we are trying to show the presence of life through showing a heartbeat, showing you know, the woman about the dating of her pregnancy and the child that she's carrying. We always refer to those ultrasounds as the baby, not the word fetus or anything like that. So trying to make it real for the individual. I share a little bit of a story first that kind of addresses that work that we do. We had a couple come to us. This couple was a married couple in their mid-30s. They just had not planned to have children, and they found themselves facing a pregnancy. We had an advocate who worked with them, talked them through the process. We did an ultrasound. That baby was about 12 weeks, what we call 12 weeks gestation. So we saw a baby, a heartbeat, arms, legs moving around. The couple was very surprised at what they saw, and were shocked that the baby was that well formed. After the ultrasound, we talked more. The advocate who was working with this couple, the gentleman said, well, you know, I was actually adopted. And the advocate later said, this was a God moment. She didn't think of these words, but God did for her. And she responded, so your mother chose life for you. After that conversation, I'm happy to say that couple made a choice for life. Since we've been open, 64 families have made a choice for life after our work with them. We're so grateful. We're so grateful for the opportunity to do just that. And again, I share that story because we know that God is working through us. We need His help and His prayers for every every family that we work with. I'm also happy to share with you that that couple and their baby, Andrew, are just across in Jackson celebrating with a church who's giving them a shower today, a baby shower. What a gift that is. Andrew's mom shared with me that he is just an angel, and I also don't see it as a by chance thing that he's named after one of our large apostles. An angel baby there. We also, there's very much two parts to our name, Options for Women, Help for Families. We intend to be there for the long term, following our families through parenting classes. Right now we have six different classes in place. And also, I want you to know that Options for Women can be deceiving because we also serve men. We have a number of men that we follow through our parenting classes and that we work with. Recently, we worked with a young man named Mac. He came to us because he had been divorced. His wife had moved some hundreds of miles away. She lost custody of their children, and he went through our parenting classes that we work with through DFS. He went through the class, a couple of weeks ago, he came into the office, and he said, "I would like to ask you all to pray for me. I go to court next week for the final decision for final custody to be awarded of my children." Rest of the story, he was awarded full custody of his children, and we still see Mac every few weeks. He recently brought in a friend of his to go through classes with us. The other part of our parenting classes that I want you to know, we are faith-based. We're very committed to the spiritual needs of our clients. Each of our parenting classes has a Bible study component and a devotion at the end of the time. We very much try to hook our clients up with a local church so that they can their spiritual needs can be met. So what do we need? We need a variety of things. First of all, prayer. Again, as I said, we need the work of our prayer warriors. We have prayer teams in place. We always need volunteers to help us at the center with our classes, with serving, you know, the families that we work with. And we just need support in a variety of ways, diapers, wipes, all kinds of baby items. The work that we do, I think, is very important to the folks that we serve, and I want to share just two quick thank you letters that some of our clients wrote to our partners in the community. And the first one says, "Dear Options for Women partner, I am very thankful for all you do and all you are doing to help make my life a little easier. I love the lessons. I've learned so much, and the baby items are so very much appreciated. I really can't express how the little things have made an impact on my life. Thank you." And the other, "My name is Alexis. My baby boy's name is Tyron, and he is 3 years old. I'm just thankful for my new Bible and the future support." So from the words from our clients that we serve, and again, I just thank you for being here, allowing us to be here. We'd love to see you in the fellowship hall.
Hey, Lindenwood family, it's Jason from Anchor Church in Sykeston. Just wanted to take a minute and thank you for the way that you've loved us over the last 3 years. 3 years ago, we started a partnership with you, and you've been giving financially to help us with the mission. And I got to tell you, God's been at work mightily in our city, and He's letting us at Anchor Church be a part of that. And by way of giving, you have also been a part of that. We've seen people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We've been baptizing people who have professed their faith. We're growing as a church. Our small groups have multiplied. We have the largest number of people in small groups that we've ever had currently. And God is just at work. And we want to say as a church, thank you for your partnership. We are grateful to brothers and sisters who have a heart for missions and help us fulfill the call that God has for us in our city. Moving forward, as the partnership ends at the end of this year, financially from your church, I would ask you to continue to pray for us. We have some big decisions that are coming up over the next year or two. Actually, we're running out of space where we are in our downtown storefront here, and we have more kids than we can fit in our kids' space. Our worship gathering space is filling up, and we're running out of space there. And so we're in the process now of looking for locations still in the downtown area, and we have found a building, actually, downtown that is owned by Cape First, and that building is a church building. It's for sale. And we're trying to figure out a way to make that happen. So would you pray for us that we would continue to grow, that God would open doors for us to be able to maybe purchase that location and not have to rent any longer in a space that is too small for us. We invite you to come down anytime that you get a chance and worship with us in Sykeston at Anchor Church. And just know that we are still grateful for your partnership, your friendship, and we would just ask you to continue to pray for us.
Good morning, church. I am Shelley Gerard, and I am the regional manager for Care Portal. How many of you guys know what Care Portal is? Okay, good. So Care Portal, for you, just a short little, for care that you have not heard about it, Care Portal is just technology, and it brings the needs of our neighbors to our inbox of our email. And just by saying yes, you're able to respond to that need and meet your neighbor and love on them like the Bible tells us to do. So that's just the simple description of Care Portal. But this morning I want to tell you what Linwood has done in the last 10 months that we have been here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Through Linwood has met 100 requests. That is crazy. So that's 100 families have been touched by this church in 10 months. Over 200 children have been touched by this church through meeting those requests, and it's just crazy cool to see. We talk about the tangible need, but the real goal of Care Portal is relationship. So this is just the item that we get to bring into the door and see this family, meet this family, and love on them in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to let Becca tell a little bit more.
The numbers are amazing. Like 100 needs, 200 kids, that's awesome for 10 months. But like Shelley said, the needs are just a way to meet a family. The needs are legit, and they need to be met, but that's not the heart behind Care Portal. The heart behind Care Portal is to enter into a family's home and start to form a relationship with them and start to share the gospel with them, to share Jesus, but in a meaningful way. One story I wanted to share with you very quickly is we had a need come through over 6 months ago for a family of four children and a mom. It was a mom and four kids, and they needed some food. That was the need. Linwood showed up, met that need, and over the course of the last 6 months, I was trying to count how many families that I personally know have interacted with this family, and I'm not sure of the number. It's definitely over five, six, seven families. We've taken meals to this family. We brought this family to church. We've taken this family, and this is not one person, this is the church coming together and doing it. We've taken the mom to the laundromat to do laundry, helped the mom fill out job applications, just showed up, picked up her kids from school because she doesn't have a vehicle. But the fun part about this story is, I will call Nikki White, was picking up the kids one day, and the neighbors hopped in her vehicle and said, "Hey, we want to go to church too." And Nikki was like, "Well, maybe I should meet your mom first." So in doing so, she went and met the neighbor's mom. And so far now, there's four or five families in that neighborhood who are coming to church because of one need that was met. And those aren't reflected in the numbers. And that's what happens every single time. Not every single time, but it happens all the time. We see needs that you show up to meet a need, but maybe you meet the neighbor. Maybe you meet her cousin. You never know what God has for you. And that's my prayer every time that a need goes out, that we will meet that need, but we will also meet that family where they are at. And we will stop and take time and walk alongside them and just keep showing up, keep sharing Jesus, keep being real and meeting them right where they're at. And Linwood is doing an amazing job at that.
So I encourage you to come visit Becca and I at the booth. We right now in CAPE, we have 16 open needs. So if you've never met a need, we have them printed out if you want to look at them. If you want to meet one today, we can walk you through that. It's super easy. And like Becca said, these numbers don't reflect. I get calls in our community, Care Portal, the church. People are hearing about it, and I get calls every week. And just last Friday, I got a call, and this was in Scott County. I didn't tell this story the first service, but an Anchor Church had a big part to play in it. But it was from Gibson Recovery Center, and a mom who had just got out of their inpatient treatment program, and her son had nowhere to sleep that night. And it was Friday, and she was going to pick him up at school at like 3:30, and her counselor called me, and she's like, "Shelly, I heard you speak at a church in Scott City. I have nowhere to turn. This mother's homeless, and if I don't find a place for her to lay her head, then I'm going to have to report her." And her child was going to be removed into foster care. And so, and the child had previously stayed with her mom, but that was not a good situation for her to go back to. So I'm like, I can just let my churches in this area know your need. And within minutes, these five churches came together and they provided her a place to live. That was the easy, providing a hotel room for 3 nights. But they didn't stop there. They brought her meals over Friday night. They brought her clothes. They had none of this. They took her to a meeting, and another church took her son to all these Christmas activities. They kept her busy the whole weekend. On Saturday night, somebody from Anchor Church had her into their home and they had dinner together. It was life-changing, but my favorite part of the story is when the counselor took the mom and to pick up the son at school, and this little boy gets into the car and he said, "Mom, where are we going to sleep tonight?" And she said, "We have a hotel room." And he's like, "Who got this for us?" And his mom said, "Jesus." And he goes, "He must really love us," like they said. And I just, that's just one story. I could stand up here for the rest of the service, but there's other people to talk and tell you story after story about the impact that God's church has had on this community in the last 10 months. So I can't wait for 2018. It's going to be amazing. And my prayer is that we are all walking with a family next year. That would be transforming for this church, for our community. What would that look like? So thank you guys so much for your support and your love and all that you've done so far.
Hello, my name is Dima, and my name is Katya. We are from Belarus, and we're doing the orphan ministry. We would like to thank the church for your donations and for your prayers. We would also like to share what has happened in the ministry for the last 6 months. In the month of June of this year, we were able to do summer camp for the orphans. Over 100 kids were able to come to this camp. Some of these orphan kids left the orphanage territory for the first time in their life. The purpose was not only to improve their health, but also to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Over 60 kids accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There were many wonders and testimonies. One of them, for example, is about a boy named Timothy, whose parents had been locking him in a basement for many years. When he came to camp, he was afraid of large crowds and went hiding. But by the end of the camp, he was able to pray, share, and sing to the Lord with everyone else. We also were able to help six girls who became pregnant at a young age. They had a choice to either do the abortion or give them life. We used part of the funds your church gave to improve these girls' living conditions so they could keep the babies instead of giving them back to the orphanage. We ask you to continue to pray for us, our ministry, our team, and also for Winter Camp and Spring Conference. We love you. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to the farm here at the GSCH. I'm Ben Fresher. I'm the farm coordinator here at the farm, and these are some of the boys that help out in the farm. The purpose of the farm here at the GSCH is to produce food for the home, but also to teach the kids work ethic and practical skills that they can hopefully use in the future. If you can tell in the background, we have been blessed with a new tractor thanks to Linwood Baptist Church. And this tractor has been a game changer for us, especially this year. It's been very wet and our road has been washed out. And so the tractor has allowed us to be able to use the kids. We were able to fill the bucket up with rocks and sand and dump it in the areas that needed so people could pass. It's been a huge blessing and given us capabilities that we've never had before, like being able to dig post holes to smooth land out, which in the future is going to make a big difference in water drainage and the ability to grow more crops. So our main crops here at the children's home is corn and beans. And we also have yucca, we have some fruit trees, and we also grow some vegetables here as well. We have some animals. We got some dairy cows. Of course, the dairy cows are used for milk, and then we have some pigs, and we raise the pigs up for meat for the home. We have six employees here at the farm. The workers oftentimes work with the kids during the week on different farm projects, and I also work with them on different tasks that we do here at the farm.
Pray for us. We, you know, having a lot of kids and a lot of moving parts, we really, really need your prayers. Our biggest needs next year is more integration of the tractor and really putting the pieces together on what we're trying to do. We're really looking forward to and seeking out people to come down here and serve for a week, do some projects here on the farm. We also have a need for one more piece of equipment, that is a bush hog. If we have a bush hog, it'll make a difference, but those are our big needs.
Hey, thank you. First off, I want to say on behalf of BMD and our Baptist Medical and Dental Mission, and on behalf of all the ministries of BMDMI Honduras, BMDMI Nicaragua, BMDMI Nepal, the Good Shepherd Christian Academy, the Good Shepherd Children's Home. I want to say thank you as a church. Thank you to Linwood Baptist Church, and thank you for the individuals. Thank you for being ministry partners, and thank you for holding the ropes, praying for us, and help making the ministry of reaching others in other parts of the world possible. Without you, it'd be a lot tougher. Thank you. A little bit on the tractor project. Kind of a little bit of the timetable. I've been in ministry. I quit my job in 2009, and I went down for 100 days in Costa Rica. And so I first learned about BMDMI I met people in language school in 2010, and I visited the children's home, visited friends in 2010, seen it for the first time, and I seen a need back then for a tractor at the children's home. And when I became I got accepted and went on a small trip in 2012. I was praying for the tractor because I seen a big need for the tractor. The tractor they had was a piece of junk and it was about to die. So I started praying in 2012. In 2015, I met a lady by the name of Teresa Humboldt, from Cape Girardeau. And after that, in September 2016, I came and visited here last year. And a month later, we had the money for the tractor. November, the tractor made it to New Orleans. 8 months later, we finally got the tractor in Honduras. I kind of felt like Moses in the wilderness, but it's God's perfect timing, because when we finally got the tractor, my John Deere tractor, it finally died. And so we really had the tractor when we needed it, and it has made a big difference. And oh my goodness, so anyway, if you still want to be a part of the tractor project, we're trying to raise $8,000 to cover the maintenance for 2 years and to get a bush hog mower, because ours, it's very old and it finally died, broke a shaft. So if you want to be a part of that, talk to Charles Humboldt, and it really help us out. But by the way, if you didn't know about the tractor, she's a girl, and we named her Linwood. And it's got 100 hours on it. And when we got it and I brought it to the Hove, the Honduran farm workers, they were scratching their head. They said, oh, it's underpowered. It can't do anything. A month later, it's like the little tractor that does. So thank you. It's really made of believers. It's really going to impact Honduras, or what we're doing indirectly, make us more efficient. But besides that, it's a great talking point to others, and it opens the door to build relationships. And what I do in Honduras is I advise and assist in Honduras at the children's home. I help with maintenance at the children's home. I also do a lot of troubleshooting, and I work with teams and others as needed at the children's home. But really, I invest in people, and really the main reason, it all goes back to building personal relationships, and that's the main thing, is building those relationships, helping lead others to Christ, encouraging and advising others, and come alongside others to help build his kingdom. And really, the big target group that I focus on is kids under 10. That's where I've had my biggest impact, especially those that are under 8. I try to get them at a young age, invest in them, and it's working. I got some 6-year-olds that the best activity they love to do is go work with me. So it's a big joy. It's a big pleasure. I'm going to be out there afterwards. Come say hi, pick up my prayer card, and thank you for what you do, because it allows us to do what we do.
Thank you, Ben. I suspect if you go to Honduras, Ben will personally give you a ride on the tractor. I haven't cleared that with him, but I'm sure he would. My name is Jim Hoffman. I've been working with BMDMI now for 8 years. BMDMI was founded in 1974 by a couple who were Honduran missionaries, Carol and Charles Harrington, and their goal was to evangelize the people of Honduras and also meet the needs of the poor of the people of Honduras. They began by building a children's home in Honduras. And that ministry has grown now to involve not only Honduras, but also Nicaragua, Guatemala, and South Asia, Nepal. In terms of evangelism, BMDMI does direct evangelism door to door. They also have a pastor's institute where they train pastors. One of the things I like about the organization is it's very intimately involved with the local church. Ultimately, what BMDMI wants to do is hand over the entire ministry to the Hondurans, and that's really the long-term goal. As far as meeting the needs of the poor, again, there are children's homes, there are hospitals, there are Christian schools, there are adult vocational training, but the signature or the flagship ministry was and is the short-term mission trip. Carolyn and Charles, I think, were probably the first to really see the vision in terms of short-term mission trips. So you ask, well, what is a short-term mission trip? It is a week of mission in one of our countries. People from all over the United States donate a week to come down and serve in various capacities. We have people from Colorado, Texas, Pennsylvania, North and South Carolina, Florida, I'm just naming a few states, and from various churches. You don't necessarily have to be a Baptist. We have some Methodists and we have some Presbyterians, and we pray for them. But anyway, they come down and we just spend a week sharing the gospel and meeting the needs of the people. We, during that week, run medical and dental clinics. We have a pharmacy. We give out clothes and food. There are construction projects. Sometimes we have a vet team. There's a children's ministry. It's like a VBS. And so we spend a week working, and we work hard. But at the end of the day, God blesses us richly. I often tell people, if you want to go on a foreign mission trip, this is the one to go on, because number one, it's not that far away. The flight time is 4.5 hours. Now, you've got to get up at 3 a.m. Saturday morning to catch the flight out of St. Louis at 6, but that's not a big hardship. During your week, at the start of your week, you will receive instructions on what to do, how to stay safe. We will feed you. We take our own food, okay? In fact, we allow you to taste indigenous Honduran food. You get off the plane and you go to Pizza Hut, and it's your first taste of indigenous Honduran food. During the week, there's a Burger King that we stop at, and again, you get to taste Honduran food. So you're not going to go hungry. The only downside, we have some Southerners from South Carolina and North Carolina and Georgia, and they eat grits, all right? And so I'm from the North, and I wasn't used to grits, but if you like grits, believe me, you will taste grits. So we don't go hungry. We take our own showers, our own generator to make hot water. So you have a hot shower every day, and we have these thick foam pads which will allow you to sleep comfortably. And so it's not a hard mission trip like some I've been on. So we spend a week just sharing the gospel and meeting the physical needs of people. Like Ben said, if you want more information, please see us in the booth in the fellowship hall. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. My name is Kendra Odom, and for those of you I haven't got to meet before, I am completely honored to be here and speak for Heart of the Bride. It's my privilege. I am an advocate for their ministry. I love it and very passionate about serving with others, serving Christ with others. That's my thing. I like to be part of a team, and Heart of the Bride has helped us to be part of their team. And Linwood has been partnering with Heart of the Bride since 2013, so thank you for doing that. I want to share with you today a little bit about Heart of the Bride and how they work, and then one of the ministries that they're really pouring into from Linwood. Heart of the Bride was founded in 1998 by Tony Gibson, and those of you who know the Chrismans, Brian and Sonia, that is Sonia's brother. He was a worship pastor, just like Brian, serving the Lord through that type of ministry, had traveled on different mission trips around the world and realized he needed to do more. So he sold everything he had, and he put all that money into a ministry called Heart of the Bride. Now, Heart of the Bride, a lot of people are like, what is that name? Well, we as the church, we're the bride of Christ, and so it's the heart of the church. That's what it is, Heart of the Bride. And so they call for different churches to come over and serve and then to help financially from here. But the whole key to how their ministry works is they go into a country where someone is already serving, doing a good job, and they partner with that servant in Christ right there. So one of those I want to share with you today is Monica Muoki. Monica's in Kenya. Her village is Kithianio, Kenya. And she had a vision in 2008 to serve the village kids where she lived. And she had no idea how many that would be. So she started something at her church and ended up with 13 kids the first week that she started. I think some people would be discouraged by that, thinking, well, there's not very many folks here. But Monica did not know what to expect, so she just started feeding them, loving on them, teaching them the word, song, and through dance, she just kept encouraging them to come. So from 2008 to 2011, her ministry grew big time. Over 250 children were showing up every week to eat all the yummy stuff that she serves them, to get loved on, to learn about Jesus, to sing songs, and she needed more help. And so in 2011, she met Tony, and they partnered together with Heart of the Bride. Now, 2012, I actually got to go there the first time myself, and we did a VBS with the kids that were there. So over 250 children that did not know English, we were working with every day from sunup to sundown, and it was amazing. So we got to see firsthand what's actually happening there. So now Monica started to realize that a relationship with those children based on one day a week is really hard. Would you guys agree? I think that sometimes what we do with our relationship with Christ, we give one Sunday a week and we say that's it and we're done. But we can't build a relationship with Christ on Sunday morning. It takes every day knowing Him and talking to Him and growing with Him. And so Monica knew that. She started praying. And what happened in 2016 was she started a school so she could see them every day of the week. Now, with that many kids, there's no way she could do a school that size because there wasn't enough people to accommodate. So she actually started with 25 children, and she started kindergarten. Eagles Christian Academy is her school. And she looked for teachers that were full of vibrant faith that would not only love these children but would disciple them. So these kiddos come into school every day, and their teachers love the Lord and love them and teach them all about Jesus, and they get fed, and they have little uniforms because in Kenya, school is so different than it is here. You know, here, if your kids aren't in school, they are out looking for you, right? In Kenya, that's not how it is. To get the opportunity to go to school, you have to pay. And most Kenyans don't have the money it takes for the school dues for their children to go to school, so they never go. So Monica started this, and they were paying for the children to go. And by the way, those 250 children that show up each week, out of her own pocket, as many of them would go to school, she would pay their dues for them to go to school, buy their uniforms, and make sure they were in some facility learning to get better, to get an opportunity. So Eagles Christian Academy now, they had their first class graduate in 2016 of all those little kiddos, and they're ready for first grade. So we have to expand the school, right? So this next year, they're taking and adding in preschool, and then they'll have their kindergarten class, and they'll have first grade. So there's several different things going on that we can help them with, which is really exciting. We're the first church they came to because Brian and Sonia being partners with Linwood and Linwood supporting them to go through Heart of the Bride, we got dibs on this, which is exciting to me. we get to help sponsor those kiddos to go to school. So there's 20 children right now, new students that are coming in that need sponsorship. It's $40 a month, and that pays for their food, their uniforms, their books. It pays part of the teacher's salary, $40 a month. Doesn't that blow your mind? It did mine, how far that money goes there. But we get to know those kiddos firsthand. And so out at the booth that we have today, there's different kiddos, their pictures, and a little bit about them on there. The best part of Heart of the Bride is when they let you sponsor a child, you get to know that child really well. So over the years, you send letters, they tell you different times they're going, you send your stuff to Florida, and it goes over with Brian or one of the mission teams and can be delivered. If you decide yourself to go on a short-term mission trip, you can take that to your child that you're sponsoring. So the Burgards, they get to go, and they see their kiddos that they are sponsoring there, same for us. And last year, we got to see one of the children that went with, he's been with Heart of the Bride for 5 years, and his sponsor had quit sponsoring him. So another gentleman in our team had picked him up and had sponsored him for 3 years out of the five and got to meet him firsthand and deliver his Christmas gift, which was pretty exciting, and we all got to watch that. Because in Kenya, they celebrate Christmas not in December, but in July, which is kind of funny to me. So anyways, it's an awesome opportunity. So they're looking for folks to sponsor kids for school. Also, they're looking for people who want to help to donate just financially for tangible things in the growth of the school, like desks and chalkboards and extra books and stuff. And then the last thing is to go. So, you know, sometimes it's easier to write a check than it is to plan to travel for 10 days. Our trip is not like Dr. Hoffman's. You don't fly for 4.5 hours. So it takes commitment because you're usually on an airplane for about 18 hours there and then about 18 hours back. And their time difference is about 8 hours. But they treat us like kings and queens while we're there because the encouragement that comes from you taking yourself personally from here to there is life-changing. It's not only life-changing for you, but it's life-changing for them to have another saint come alongside of them, serve with them, encourage them, love on them. It's just amazing what happens when you do that. And so I would encourage you, if you're looking at getting involved in a ministry, go partner with that ministry in some capacity, whether it's sponsoring a child or giving to those desks or books or chalkboards or the other ministries that you've heard here today, or go there personally and see, what am I giving to? What's happening in this ministry? I can tell you from 2012 until 2017, I have seen those same little ones, the ones on the video, a lot of them I know. So it's exciting to see their faces show up on that video, but you get to see them grow in Christ and you get to have an impact. We're taking a team in July, the end of July, and we need 10 people to go with us. In that team, we're looking for some teachers. So how many of y'all in here are teachers? Raise your hand, don't be afraid. Okay, I'm not gonna call you out and say you have to go, but listen to what I'm saying. My mom was a kindergarten teacher for years, and that's a hard job. You love those little kids, but it takes tons of energy and it takes tons of mental patience, you know, sometimes. And so these teachers need encouragement. And who better to encourage another teacher than a teacher who knows exactly what they need encouragement in? They also need some more education on teaching. Like, they only have their way of doing things. So we're looking for teachers to go with us and help give them new ideas, fresh ideas that might be helpful to them in teaching their students. And then for the rest of us who, I'm a homeschool teacher now. I wasn't until I went to Africa and then became one when I came back after my first trip. But you don't have to be a teacher to go. We're gonna do VBS for the kids throughout the week that we're there. We'll also do door-to-door community outreach. And our door-to-door there isn't like here, so you don't walk up one and then to the next like real quick. It's kind of, you're traveling a little bit, so you're walking a lot, but you get to see the most beautiful country while you're doing it. So I would just encourage you to pray about it. What is God calling you to do today? And don't be afraid to go to Africa, because you can come back in one piece just like I did. And God can change your life in doing it. So thank you so much for your time.
I don't have a question. I want to say thank you. Because you came, I heard the gospel, and God saved me and my family, and through us, many others.
I was blown away when this brother from Central Asia stood at the SBC meeting in June after I gave our report to just say thank you for how IMB missionaries have reached his people. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that. And his story has resonated with so many people, been shared, talked about in churches, on the internet, because his story and so many others like it, this is what the IMB is all about. We partner with Southern Baptist churches to empower limitless missionary teams who are making disciples, multiplying churches among unreached people and unreached places for the glory of God. You think about Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, Cooperative Program. Together, Southern Baptist churches have given over $250 million this last year to fund mission efforts around the world. And as a result of that giving, over 87,000 people have professed faith in Christ for the first time. Over 4,500 churches have started in places where churches have not been before as a result of our partnership together. Southern Baptists are generous. We regularly hear stories of their commitment individually and as churches to give sacrificially. I think about Madeline Ray, who wrote me a letter this year wanting to use her wish from the Make-A-Wish Foundation to fund work among unreached people. In this letter, she said, "I just want to be a part of getting the gospel to those who've never heard it." She said, "I determined that making a donation to the IMB for unreached people would be an eternally effective way to use my wish." Now her single wish will echo into eternity as unreached people hear the gospel for the first time as a result of her generosity. Because of that sort of generous giving, IMB is once again on firm financial ground. This year we are poised to begin sending more and more missionaries in the coming days, and I'm convinced our churches are ready to do that. Already this year, we sent out 193 new missionaries, with still more to come. I think about one such missionary, Abuk. She fled from her home country of South Sudan with her family when she was young. They landed in Amarillo, Texas, and God in His sovereignty connected them with First Baptist Church there, and that church is now sending her out on mission in partnership with the IMB. It is an awesome scene when the mission field becomes a mission force. That is what is happening through our cooperative work together among unreached peoples and places around the world. Thank you for the opportunity to partner together with you in this eternally important work. Thank you for praying, for giving, for sending people with the gospel to those who've never heard the gospel. Let's keep doing this work together so that God's fame will be made known among people who've never heard the name of Jesus.
Amen. As I wrap this up this morning, I want to share with you a couple of ways that you can be involved. First of all, the Honduras mission trip is going to be at the end of February. And so, again, you don't have to be in the medical field to be a part of that trip. There are a lot of different ways that you can be involved, as is true with all of our trips. Something that you can do locally. You heard just a few minutes ago from Becca Underwood and from Shelley about some kids that are starting to come to our church and families that are getting connected to our church because of what we're doing and how you're meeting that need. Well, about 10 kids are actually coming. And Nikki said, "Hey, I can't get all these kids in my van." And so we are making our small bus available for somebody to go and pick those kids up and those families who are wanting to come. They come on Wednesday night, they have a meal, and then they're involved in one of our classes. And we need a volunteer, maybe a couple of volunteers, a group of you who would be willing to do that on Wednesday night. And that could be your commitment to be involved in what God is doing right here in Cape Girardeau, where these kids are able to hear the gospel and experience transformation. And so you pick the kids up, you bring them, and we'll have another adult, maybe two adults at least, that will participate in doing that. You don't need a CDL in order to drive this size of a bus. So you pray about that and see if maybe you could help meet that need. Look, it is now. It is legitimate. It's an opportunity, and you can help. Some of you might say, "Well, Pastor, I would love to go, but things are tight for our family. For me personally, I'm not able to go because of financial reasons." And I understand that, and that is a legitimate concern and a legitimate need. I don't have time to tell you, but you know, I've seen God do so many things in my life personally to meet that need. I've seen God do that in others. My theory is if God wants you to go, he will provide a way for you to go. He will come through. But this is how God is doing it at Linwood. Some of you remember Twyla James. Twyla was a member of our church, a single woman. She was in our choir ministry. You may not know her name, but toward the end of her life, she would sing. She had a knit hat that she would wear because of chemotherapy. She was very involved in our missions ministry. And we received word. I didn't know this part of it until an attorney called us and said in her will, she left us, Linwood Baptist Church, over $60,000 designated for missions. And she wanted that money to be used to further the kingdom of God. Our missions committee, along with our deacon council, decided that the best way that we could do that would be to establish the Twyla James Grant. And that if there are individuals who want to go, that we would provide 75% of the cost of that trip. These are people who have not gone on a trip in the last 5 years. You just fill out a simple application, and then the committee would approve that. And you come up with the 25%, you have time to do that, and then we're able to provide 75% until that money runs out. Because what we believe will happen is this, that once you go, your life will be forever different. In so many ways, your life will change. Our theory in our home was that my children were going to go on an international mission trip to a third world country before they graduated from high school or in their early years of college ministry. I wanted them to see what I've experienced because I have a totally different perspective about the church, about the world, about my life and God's kingdom as a result of going. And so just think of what she did for you. And I'll say this, there is another very significant gift she left for our church that I won't announce until later. But she believed in what God is doing around the world, and she believed what God was doing right here in this church and through this church. And boy, I tell you, I thank God for what he put in her heart to do for you and to help you be a part of what God is doing. Now, I want everybody to take this card for just a moment, and I want to explain it to you. This is a card that gives you information about Go 18, all that we're doing next year. And what we've heard today is only a part of what we do. There's more that's going on. We didn't have time to put it all in here. So this will give you some information. And the highlight is this missions giving pledge. Now, not everybody who gives to missions signs a pledge card. But for some, that's just part of their commitment, and we want to encourage you to do that. There are two main streams of revenue for missions in our church. One is through our operating budget. That's when you give your tithe on Sundays, or you mail it in, or you give online, that whenever you give, a percentage of that goes to missions. And that may be local, it may be our state, it may be in the United States or around the world. You need to know that when you give, part of that goes to the International Mission Board. You heard David Platt, who's the president. And our missionaries spend zero time raising money because we cooperate together as Southern Baptist churches. That's part of what the cooperative program means. It's a funding vehicle for our missionaries. So when our missionaries go and serve, they don't raise any money. They spend 100% of their time. Philip and Don Davidson, they're over there serving. So that's why we do this way. Out of 45,000 churches plus, our church is in the top 100 in giving to international missions. David has sent me a note since he's been the president for years. We've been one of the top givers as far as sending missionaries around the world and seeing people come to know Christ. And so when you give, a part of that goes to international missions. It goes to what we're doing. Now, that's our budget giving through the tithe, the general operating budget. The other revenue, stream of revenue that we use in order to fund missions is this right here, is designated giving. That means you give above your normal tithe and give specifically to missions. And that enables us to do all the things that you've heard about and what we do locally through some of these specialized ministries that you've heard about. We give in that way. So that's why we want to do that. For years, my wife and I, before we were married, we were tithing. When we got married, we were tithing. And then for our missions, every church I've been in, we've had special mission offerings. We give above and beyond that. Whenever I get paid, the first check I write is to the church, and some of that goes to the tithe based on the percentages, and then I give above that every pay period to our missions ministry, so that and other mission opportunities besides that, so that we can all be a part of what God is doing. Every little bit helps. It makes a huge difference. So you pray about this over the next month. You just ask the Lord how you can pray, how you can give, and how you can go. Hopefully we've helped eliminate one of those obstacles financially in going on one of these trips. What's our vision? To engage all people to experience Christ and equip them for life. You may be here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I really don't know why I came today, but hearing all that what God is doing, I realize I have a personal need for Christ. My life has not been transformed. I've not experienced His grace and His forgiveness. And I want that. I want a relationship with God. And it's my joy and privilege in just a moment when we sing to invite you to come, and I will help you as you give your heart to Christ and begin a new journey of faith with Him. There might be some who are here and say, Pastor, we believe that today is the day that we need to join this fellowship, especially after hearing what God is doing. We had a family the first hour who joined us from Memphis, new in our area. And so they want to be a part of what God is doing here. There might be others who you just have a burden on your heart and you need to pray with somebody. Well, we're prepared to help you do that. Let me pray, and then we're going to have a time of response to all that we've heard this morning from the Lord. Father, I thank You for speaking to our hearts in the way that You have, whether it's through music, through a prayer, through this information that's been shared, through the testimonies, the opportunities. But now, even, Lord, the need that we have to take the step of faith and obedience You're asking us to make. I want to ask You, Lord, that as You have spoken, that now You draw these to make the commitment You're leading them to make. And help, God, us in this way to worship You, to rejoice in who You are and what You're doing by our response. In Jesus' name, amen.